Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here we go, JV. Hooray! 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 They're gonna beat the Bengals! Hooray! 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 They're gonna beat the Bengals! No!
Like the Bengals starts now.
And we're back, baby!
After a month and a half.
We're. Oh, baby, when you walk like that, you make me go mad.
So be sad and keep not moving my body. I'm sad at life. You know his hips don't work, but we're still podcasting tonight. All the who day. The who day. Don't you see, baby, James Rapine is here tonight. And welcome back to
Fuck You, We Like the Bengals.
I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Sitting across from me for the first time in, I think, 2 months is...
old Gimpy himself, Lloyd Johnson.
He is newly Gimpy and still horny.
Oh, yeah, always.
Always, dude. I've said this, repeatedly. I feel weird saying this into our episode with James Rapine, who, first of all, we just recorded him with him. Very nice dude.
Dude, one of the nice... he's so great. He's so great.
Chill. I also will say 2020 was the horniest year in American history. Because it was, right before the pandemic and... It was during the pandemic, and people were just looking for
something to rub up against.
Yeah, because we were all quarantined, and we were just God damn it.
I'm not gonna lie, it was one of my favorite years of my life.
Well, yeah, because you were you never want to go out anyway.
Yeah, I prefer to just, be alone and not have to talk. Yeah. Other human beings that have responses and tell you stuff about themselves and
yeah,
I don't want to hear all that.
Well, guess what? I think you now have an excuse to not really go out all that much.
I really do.
Lloyd, would you like to enlighten the general populace about what that excuse is?
Yeah. So I think it was April 24th, I believe.
Yep.
I went and picked my daughter up from the airport about 11 p.m.
Uh-huh. Good old Lily Johnson.
Got back to the apartment. Literally had 2 drinks, so I can't blame this on being drunk.
Okay.
Didn't even think of my good, sleeping medication or anything, so I can't blame it on any of that. I went to the bathroom about 3 a.m. And my daughter's absolute cunt of a cat loves... loves to bunch up the bath mats in the bathroom. So I went to step away from taking a piss, and I clipped my foot on the bath mat, and I fell.
Oh.
And when I say fell, I, not even able to get my hands down to brace it really, fell down on my left hip. Oh. Which resulted in me breaking the head of my femur bone completely off and the entire back wall of my left hip into pieces.
Yep. God damn it.
The surgeon who fixed it said I could have fallen 100 times and he would have expected none of them to turn out the way it did.
Fuck, dude. Obligatory question. Are you okay?
You're recovering. Okay's real relative.
Because it's been a little bit of a... You've just been kind of MIA from pretty much everything for the last month and a half.
Yeah, I yesterday was the first time I made it back up the stairs to my own apartment.
Yep.
I've had to stay somewhere without stairs in order just to exist.
Yep. Even staying at our friend Sarah's place.
Yep. And Lily's been great. She's helped a lot, except for as far as keeping my apartment from being completely destroyed by that same cunt of a cat. And Lily and Sarah have been great about, like, I can't get up to go get water. Like, I walk with a walker and or crutches at all times right now.
God damn, dude. It's kind of like Joe Burrow was after his injury.
Yeah, probably worse.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm jealous of his injury. That seems like it'd be easier to...
Well, one thing I didn't address with Rapine was the Bengals need to thank their lucky stars that Joe Burrow only missed 6 games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Him for and sure. Trey Hopkins only missed a half a game. Might miss a few this year.
If it was, if he had the injury I had, he would not be playing most of the season.
Well, Joe Burrow also is probably a little more responsible with who he gets as a cat.
Well, he probably doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Burrow's
probably a chill dude.
Yeah, if you haven't, you've seen the picture of the pins and shit on my hip.
Your what?
Have you seen the picture of my hip?
Did you say depends?
I said, have you seen?
Oh boy, that just looks like the fucking, that looks like a Hyrule, what is it? Legend of Zelda logo.
Yeah, my hip now has a nail running, they call it a nail, running from the head of my hip to about halfway down.
Oh my god.
My femur.
Ow.
And then multiple pins piecing the head back together and screws holding that all in place.
Wow.
So I did it real good. Broke it. I broke the fuck out of it. And then the whole back wall on my hip, they're just like, we'll deal with that. It's a problem later.
Yep. Dude, that fucking sucks, dude. And you've had to miss time at the zoo and...
Yeah, I haven't been at work. I haven't been...
You're basically on disability right now.
Yeah, I'm on short-term disability. I haven't done anything. I've been out twice since all this happened, both within the past, like, week.
Now.
Yeah, once to come up here and do this, and the other, I popped in at Chameleon for a few minutes to...
Watch Blake.
Yeah.
Murder. And everyone noted on the fact that you've lost some LBs with this.
Yeah, about 41 pounds.
In a month and a half?
Yeah, something like that.
That's a pound a day.
Yeah.
I realize how you're going to respond to this. I envy that. I know I shouldn't because of the way it happened. Like, I know breaking your hip isn't the best way to lose weight. No one's like, man, how do I lose weight?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Break a hip and lose my entire appetite.
Yeah, break your hip and the entire head of your femur off, and I assure you, you will not eat the way you did before.
Yeah, because I'm like, me personally, I'm like, still a fat ass at heart.
Oh, bro. Same.
Yeah.
Like, my daughter had to have a talk with me when we were in the hospital where she went, hey, they keep telling you you have to eat. And I'm like, I'm eating. She's like, you're eating half of what they send you, if that. They're getting mad. Start eating.
It's like I have, like me, I've always had too much of an appetite, and I've struggled to control it at times.
Right. Well, right now, today I ate breakfast.
Proud of you.
By the time it got around to lunch, the idea of eating was just nauseating.
Repulsive.
So I just, not to mention my you know, about a 2 liter of Coke a day.
Yeah.
Has gone by the wayside. Yeah, I don't drink rum and Coke at the frequency I was.
Yeah. You now drink Gatorade and Sailor Jerry.
Yeah, I've been drinking Gatorade and Sailor Jerry. I didn't stop drinking.
Which still, to be fair, a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
It's not carbonated, high fructose corn syrup sugar.
It's also just not nearly the same volume that I was taking in before. So, yeah, I'm 225 pounds.
Which is 15 pounds heavier than I am.
And I haven't weighed this little since I was in... except for one time during a training camp, I cut a bunch of weight to fight, and I got down to like 212.
Okay.
But walking around just normal, not have done anything at 225... Not since, like, 7th grade.
Do you think you'll dip under 200?
I doubt it. I don't know.
Yeah, because my goal is to never be heavier than Lloyd. Because I'm also...
It's a solid goal.
It's a solid goal. I'm also, like... I'm not trying to sound like I'm trying to suck my own dick right now. I have a lot of muscle on me.
Well, you're also, 7 inches shorter than me? 6 inches shorter than me?
Yeah, that's a little disheartening.
And I used to have a lot more muscle on me than I do now. Like, admittedly, my legs both look 3 to 4 inches smaller than they did before all this happened. Like, I've definitely lost some muscle mass.
Yeah. And muscle weighs more than fat does.
Yeah, but I've also... My gut's not nearly what it was. Yeah. And,
I need to get my gut down.
It's been weird having people comment on me looking a lot different.
Yeah.
I'm not great with, like, compliments. And so every time someone's like, oh, hey, you look way thinner. You look better. I'm like, do I look like I'm dying? Do I look like I'm sick? But, yeah, it's cool that I lost a bunch of weight, but it's not great the way I got there. I would not recommend that as a... There's better ways to get there.
Yes, absolutely. It's like the Biggest Loser, Lloyd edition.
Yeah, just...
Break your hip.
Break the largest bone in your body and the most important one for movement.
Yeah.
At the same time, and you won't move a whole lot or want to eat or...
It's like you don't notice any of the 206 bones in your body individually unless one of them is broken.
Yeah, break two of them that touch each other, you'll notice.
Yeah. Like, I was playing I know you're not a ball with a stick guy. But I watched my team... I play for a local team, Cincy Dragons, shout out. And I watched my teammate, our pitcher, steal second base, and as he did, he dislocated his pinky. And I did not see my teammate get an out and hitting because the whole time I was watching my other teammate pop his pinky back into place.
So in my world, a dislocated pinky is... It's not even noteworthy in my day. I don't know if you've ever thrown hay bales, but you dislocate fingers every once in a while.
Yep.
So to me, that's whatever. Same as, like, a broken nose. You just fucking push it back into place and move on. This is my first time. Like, I've had spinal surgery, so that was...
I am lucky to have avoided that.
Pretty gnarly, but breaking the biggest bone in your body
Go to hell.
It has some pretty notable effects on how you do things.
You're gonna want to tell your body to go to hell.
Yeah, it's not been great.
Do you miss the zoo? I'm sure.
Absolutely, every day.
Yeah, and I want that for you. I want you to get back at the zoo and just to be making full pay and getting back to where you were.
So on top of breaking the bones I broke, I developed a large hematoma in my left thigh.
Gross.
So I just had a giant sack full of blood in the middle of the muscle in my left eye. So that has impeded my progress of getting back to normal.
Ow!
I also had an aneurysm in that leg where they had to go through... They had to put something through my left or my right leg all the way across my groin into my right leg to stop the bleeding of the aneurysm into the hematoma.
My God.
And then while they were doing that, they happened to notice that I had a couple of very large kidney stones in my right kidney, probably caused by a lot of the medication I was on. So now I have a stent running from the top of my ureter tract all the way up to my left kidney, which makes me feel like I have to pee every 45 seconds.
If you want to skip to the part where we interview James Rapine, you probably should have done that like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. We should probably skip past the woe is me part. I'm fine. I'll be okay shortly.
Do you think the listeners, be honest, do you think they like want to know? Because like you were out for a few episodes. Like, do you think they want to know what happened to our friend Lloyd Johnson?
I think maybe just the overview, not all the gritty details.
Well, I mean, I'm hearing it, so. And I'm not editing it out.
But no, it's been rough, man. It's not been great. I've been stuck between a hospital bed and recliner, all in the same room for over a month.
You get your first peek at retirement.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Yep.
It seems awful.
Did you watch Jeopardy last night?
No.
You didn't catch up on your Wheel of Fortune?
No, I watch fights, and then I watch reruns of shows that I've watched a million times.
Such as?
I literally rewatched all of American Dad.
The best.
Archer.
Great.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I need to get into that.
And a huge chunk of Family Guy.
Of the best. Are you a South Park guy?
Yes, which... If it wasn't for the fact that when Disney Plus came out, I rewatched most of South Park then.
I've been really getting into South Park recently.
It's so good. But yeah, every movie that I've purchased on Amazon, on the watch counts, I've watched all of them twice since this happened.
That's awesome.
There's like 60 movies on that list.
Jeez. Can I say something about South Park real quick?
Good.
I think the most underrated character on the show is Ike, the little baby.
I would say Butters, but all right.
Okay, Butters is great. Butters. I think the reason Ike... Do you not like Ike?
No, I love Ike.
Do you know how they record his voice?
How's that?
They record his voice... The voice actor for Ike is the children... of South Park's production staff. So it's like a 3-year-old kid that could be like an animator records lines that says, "Suck my balls."
That's fantastic.
I will send you a video later of someone recording Ike's lines. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, that show's so fucking smart that it's almost upsetting at times. Like, especially like the last like 5 seasons, how they've had like that theme through the whole thing. Like there's a story arc that's a theme and a...
It's been on the air for almost 25 years and it has not lost a step.
No, it's only gotten better.
Yep. Speaking of things that have only gotten better, I know you're not a ball with the stick guy.
No, but I'm happy for you.
Yes, because... If you follow me on Facebook, follow me on the Instagrams, you got to see the fact that for the first time in my entire life, I hit a home run. And it was my dad put it best. It was fantastic, but my dad said it was like an out-of-body experience for me. That's the best way I can put it. Because you were talking with Rapine just now, but you said like you commend someone's ability to hit a baseball.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
There have been multiple people that have said that hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do. I mean, it's not like just like a fastball, but it's like off speed stuff, whether it's like a curveball, slider, knuckleball. We don't play knuckleballs, but like changeup. And the hard thing is, and I'm sure you know this, but like you don't know what's coming. You have to guess and get lucky. And I'm gonna flex a little bit because I looked up the guy's pitching stats for the year. 8 2/3 innings prior to me, which, if you don't know, is almost one full complete game. He had only given up one run the entire year. No home runs. I basically doubled his ERA with one swing of the bat.
No, which, again, I'm not a baseball fan, but I can appreciate that. That's pretty dope.
Thank you. It was something that I had dreamed about a long time. I mean, granted, it feels weird to brag on because we got our absolute cheeks clapped in that game. But it's like we've had a rough go of it as of late, but I love the guys I play with. They're absolutely fantastic dudes, and sometimes we just look for positive parts of the season. Is that would you say that's like a fair thing to say?
That's a very reasonable thing to do.
And I don't want to go all like whoop-dee-dee about myself, but I'm like, God damn it, that felt incredible. Because when I hit it, it was just like, my first thought when I hit it was, oh, God damn it. Because I didn't think I got enough. But then the shortstop, he just said, I was running to first base, and the shortstop just said, back, back. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And then I was in between first and second, and my team was like, keep going. And I saw the left fielder just wave his arm, so I was like, no shit. And I was just like, did that seriously save the yard? And I was screaming, get the ball, because I'm like, I want my first home run ball. So what I did was I crossed home plate, left the dugout, ran along the left field line, like on like the pavement shit, hopped a fence. This isn't as impressive as it sounds what I'm about to say. I went across the street to retrieve the ball. It was right in someone's front yard. And I got the ball, put it in my backpack, and it is in my apartment right now to this day.
So the next one is when you really make your dad proud and hit a home run with the ladies.
We'll get there.
Get there?
All right. I'll get there.
I'm sorry, you're riding too high. I had to just...
Yes, very fair. Even friends that were girls like that I'm just like legitimately friends with. It's like, are you going to talk to her? And I'm like, Dad, we're just fucking pals. Shut the fuck up. Also, I only say that partially because we have established, or she has established, that we're just pals.
Pretty aggressively.
But yeah, that's our life. Say I wanted to talk about that home run on an app or so. Or like where I could have like... If there was like a live audio-only sports talk platform, do you know what app you would use?
Are we going with Green Room?
Locker Room, Green Room. They are rebranding to Green Room. We'll talk about that in just a second. What I've heard is they're going to merge with Spotify. It's going to be a cool-ass thing. But for now, Locker Room / Green Room. Let's go with that. We cool?
Yep.
Boom! It is it's a live audio-only sports talk platform. It didn't cost anything to use?
No.
No, it doesn't, Lloyd.
Not a thing.
Free to download and use. You can talk to fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. I said vamp it up a bit. So that's what I'm trying to do. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, reacting to breaking news, such as me absolutely locking into a home run where the wind was blowing out into left field, and I have not gotten a hit since. But that is neither here nor there. Like we said, you can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. You can talk with other sports fans, insiders, athletes, and executives in real time. It's on Locker Room/Green Room, which is a free, audio-only social media platform for sports fans. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store. And you can create a profile, link your Twitter, and join any of the leagues in the sports drink platform. So find out about Locker Room. And now we're going to go into our interview with James Rapine, who, by the way, was fantastic.
Great guy.
And welcome back to Fuck You, We Like the Bengals. I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Sitting next to me is, welcome back.
I'm back, Lloyd Johnson.
He is back, and sitting on the other side of the screen, introduce yourself to the general populace. A lot of people might know who you are.
James Rapine is
James
here.
Rapine, you write for allbengals.com. It's a little SI thing, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Nice. A little shop called SI.
Yes. They've been around for, 5 years?
Yeah, six or seven years.
Yeah, so how'd you get started with, being a – because Andrew Fox Miller, we had him on last episode, he kind of talked about how you got started. You guys working, in insurance or something, and you kind of got started on, the radio, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us a little bit of that story.
Oh, man. I worked with Andrew while I was in college. So I met him when I was 17, 18 years old. We worked at Nationwide Insurance. I was at the University of Cincinnati. So I went to UC. Yeah, I'm a Bearcat. Go Bearcats.
Yes.
So we worked there. And, he's 26 probably at the time or something like that. And I'm a kid just trying to pay my way through school. And I knew I didn't want to work in insurance forever and love sports.
Do you really want to work in insurance forever?
No, I don't think so. He's not in insurance anymore either, right? So it's one of those things. And I love sports. Unfortunately, I was 5'9", so there was no chance of me and not fast enough to maybe be like Rex Burkhead or somebody, right?
Yeah.
So
Aaron Sproles.
That's right. No, there was none of that in my future. So it was like, let's write about sports and talk about sports. And started as an intern at ESPN 1530 and Fox Sports 1360, and just kind of went from there, right? Radio producing and then podcasting, do videos here and there. Then I got my own blog, and it kind of went from there. And I love it. I love covering a team in my hometown. I love liking work. And hopefully we're just getting started. That's my plan, is that this is just scratching the surface of what's in store.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for, too, because I've been, trying to dabble in sports writing. I have a couple connects at Cincy Jungle. We're working through that, and we have this podcast. We've been doing it for, 2-3 years or so? It's been on and off. It's gone through hosts for about 6 years. This will be, our sixth or seventh season doing FU and roasting and talking about the Bengals and stuff, so... It's kind of a fun, way to get our names out there and just have not only talk about the Bengals, but just our lives in general. And and you've done Locked On for how long? Because that's your podcast.
Yeah. So outside of my stint in Cleveland for about 2 years, I've done it, the whole time. So I started it in 16 with David Locke and hosted it towards through the end of the 2018 season, and then came back after – Zach Taylor's first year last May, right after the draft. So I missed about a season and a half, but I've been around for most of it.
That's awesome. I mean, there's been a lot to talk about with Taylor's tenure. He's the second coach I've ever known, because the first season I followed the Bengals was Marvin Lewis's first year.
Sure.
But I don't really know the late 90s or the Dick LeBeau years or anything like that. I just know Marvin Lewis in a couple of years is Zach Taylor so far.
So, on the other hand, I'm a lot older, and I remember
that's right.
terrible, terrible years.
I was going to say, you didn't miss much in the years pre-Marvin. And that's I remember probably back to 97 is about where I remember back to. And I wasn't old then. I was just really loved sports.
Yeah.
And it was not fun watching Corey Dillon and really no one else and bad quarterback play and certainly bad coaches. So you didn't miss anything for sure.
Horrible ownership. Let's not ever forget horrible ownership.
That's something. I was on a Vegas radio station today and they said, hey, are the Bengals cursed because of ownership? Are they ever going to be able to be good with this ownership? And I think that's something that not only Bengals fans think, at least some of them, but people nationally think as well.
There's only one good answer to that is he'll die soon.
Honestly, the thing is I think back to probably 2009, Mike Brown still signs off on stuff, but he's not calling all the shots anymore. Like Zach Taylor has his thumbprint on it. Duke Tobin certainly does. Heck, but that's the thing is like Brown's going to take the hits, but it's not just him, and he certainly has been open to other people and their input. Like Marvin. Marvin had his input on a lot of draft picks.
Didn't his daughter also say that they still tend to go a little more conservatively as how he was? Something in an article that she got some heat for where she said that they still tend to play it a little closer to the chest like he did.
I'm sure. I mean, if you're raised in that, right, that's going to be the way things go. I will say that they've at least been in free agency the past couple of years, which is nice because, like, in 2013, in 2014, I was the guy always during that playoff run from 11 to 15, like, hey, they need to go out and get this free agent. And people crush me for it, like, they're not going to do that. And I'm like, I don't care. That's what they need to do. And now it seems like they're at least willing to dip their toe in free agency, which is a little refreshing.
And there were a couple of years there that were super frustrating because there were so many great free agents that were sure. For nothing. Like, I remember sitting, I can't remember, I think it was the year before Carson got hurt. I remember in free agency just reading, like, the list of people that were available. And it was to the point where there were so many skill players that they were going for nothing. I mean,
yeah,
teams were picking up people for nothing. And you're sitting there like, come on, man. If they're cheap, just once. Just one? No? All
right. Just one.
We're
yeah.
getting none. Okay, we're going with none.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the difference. I think in today's NFL, teams are more aggressive than they were in the mid-2000s.
Yep.
Because the Broncos, super aggressive. They get a Super Bowl out of it. The Seahawks, same thing. The Patriots have done that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. The Chiefs certainly trying to do that and have done that. So, like, you got to be aggressive. You got to pull off trades. You got to kind of force the issue, I think, if you're going to win in today's game, even if you have Joe Burrow and even if you have a good roster around him.
Yeah, the Bucs were so aggressive last year that they still have been able to retain every single starter from last year to this year. And that's mind-blowing aggression to me.
It is. And the crazy part about it is I could see it from a mile away, like, man, just trade Giovanni Bernard to the Bucs. That's what I was saying, because it fits perfectly.
Yep.
And they release him, and who'd have thunk it? The one missing thing in that offense was a great pass-protecting, pass-catching back. It was Leonard Fournette last year. He's got stones for hands. Like, and he made some big plays in the playoffs. I'm not taking that away from him. But he's not Gio. And so now Gio goes there, too. I mean, that offense, it's going to be tough to stop.
And even Ronald Jones was more like the direct downhill runner. It was Fournette and Ronald Jones. There was no pass catcher out of the backfield. And now that they have Geo, that's an insane – that's even a more insane offense than it already was.
Absolutely. He's going to kill it down there. It's going to be a little painful. You just hope that Joe Mixon has a big year because it won't be as painful. But if Mixon isn't great as a pass protector, you're just going to be looking down to Tampa Bay and watching Tom Brady smile as he dumps it off to Geo four times a game and they're beating people by 20. So that would be the frightening part. But good for Geo. You know, good for him.
How hyped do you think he was to get the call from Tampa Bay instead of Chicago, I think, was looking at him?
Oh, I mean, that's the team. It's literally a perfect fit. I think he fits them. I think skill-wise, I think he's going to have playoff success right away.
Yep.
I think he'll get in sync with Brady right away.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the best fit of any of the teams. Geo landing there, it's going to work really well.
You have to bet on something working. Tom Brady being involved usually helps.
Yes.
That's fair.
And
that's
Brady fair. And Arians, if I'm not mistaken, personally recruited Geo Bernard specifically.
I think so. I think I read right. I think I read yeah. that or saw it. So
Seattle, I think, was looking at
Chicago,
him too.
Chicago, I know Chicago did. Well, at course, least for a minute.
The Andy Dalton poll.
That's right. Hey, we got Andy. You know, you like catching passes from him, right?
Yeah.
I think because they kept hyping him up on their Twitter as QB1, just QB1, then a picture of Andy Dalton. And then they kind of got roasted on Twitter for it.
How many starts does he – is he their opening day starter, you guys think?
Yeah.
I think he will be.
50-50.
I think he is. I think as conservative as they have been with bringing players in over time, I think maybe they'll – I think they're almost not counting this season to be a big deal. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. I
almost wonder if they think, let's get everything together and then – move on. Otherwise, why get Andy?
I would love to see him start 8 games, play well, and get one more shot. Because it's not going to be in Chicago. It's not going to be a real shot, right? Because Justin Fields is their guy.
It'll be like
even if he plays well.
Kansas City thing.
Exactly. So hopefully that happens. Because it ended. It was just such a whimper of an ending, right? And Ryan Finley, the benching there, which was ridiculous at the time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't covering them then. But I remember I was like, really? That's what you're doing? Okay, they're tanking, I guess. They really like that Joe Burrow kid or Tua at the time, right? And I hope Andy gets a shot at starting. Maybe Washington. He'd be the best starter in Washington right now. I wish they should have signed him.
Yeah.
Fitz is.
You made a face. You like Ryan Fitzpatrick better. You made a face
it's
there.
It's not that I like Fitz better, it's that he's such an anomaly of a player. It's like he hasn't aged. I see Fitz's peak as higher than Dalton's, but it's like Dalton's here and then Fitz is like here. Like Fitz is inconsistent. When Fitz is good, he's insane.
He'll give you the 400-yard, 4-touchdown games.
Yes.
And he'll give you the 4-pick games. And you're right. Yeah. You know, higher ceiling, lower floor. Andy's
exactly
going to give you a bunch of 2-touchdown, no-pick games and a couple 2-interception games. Right. Yeah. I get that, and that's the thing. If you are Washington, maybe you do roll with the 38-year-old who doesn't seem like he has aged because he still runs pretty well. Like, he's probably beaten all of us in a race, which is kind of sad because Ryan Fitzpatrick shouldn't be able to beat us in a race, but I think he could.
Well, my buddy that worked at Ignition Sports said when he was over there, he's one of those guys that he wants every single person in the room's opinion on exactly what he should be doing to be in the best shape he can all the time. Real bright guy. I mean, Harvard guy, right?
Yep.
Went to Harvard. Yeah. So he's a real, real bright guy. And my buddy that worked at Ignition Sports, he worked with him and Marcus Hunt a lot.
Gotcha.
And he said you couldn't have two more opposite. Like, Marcus Hunt, 6'8", doing backflips. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, literally down to disputing how many calories he should be taking in a day with their nutritionist versus how many miles he should run on a treadmill on off-season days. But so I think maybe – I think he can wow someone in a meeting, like his personality and that guy who's that driven to do it. You know what I mean? Like, when he retires, he's going to have a great job in anything he wants to do.
Sure,
he'd be a totally great analyst, a great coach.
Like, I picture him being somebody who's calling games in a few years.
He's going to end up in a booth.
I could see that, and there's enough. He's somehow become this borderline star where people know him, even though he's been like a career backup that starts occasionally here and there when there's injuries. But like, he's like the most popular backup/borderline starter. So he's probably like what, the 35th best quarterback in the league or 30th best quarterback in the league. But he's the most famous one of those that I can remember.
I can't think of a guy that's been like that where even if you bring him in and he never plays, everyone feels more comfortable that that's the backup.
Yeah. And part of it part of his fame is he's played for half the damn league, so everyone knows him.
I was just about to say, I wouldn't as much call him a backup as a journeyman.
Yeah, that's fair.
And also in with Fitz in Washington, I think his situation, like with his pass catchers and stuff, I think it's better than Dalton's is in Chicago, because Dalton's only star receiver right now, his only star is Allen Robinson.
Mm-hmm. But then, no, I agree. I mean, they went out and got Curtis Samuel.
I wanted Curtis Samuel so did bad you? For the Bengals. So bad.
I have, what, fucking six tight ends on the roster right now?
Yeah, Jimmy Graham, Cole Kmet, and a smorgasbord of others.
Yeah.
Imagine if he can be turning tight end.
I do like the Darnell Mooney kid. He's a second year
too.
Guy now.
I do too.
That kid's impressive, yeah.
It's like he's not like there yet, but he is getting there. And he's the kind of receiver that I kind of have a soft spot for. It's the one that doesn't get like a ton of opportunities to like get like 10 receptions consistently. But when he gets opportunities, he steps up and he makes the receptions when he needs to. And I love those players.
Kind of reminds me of like Jerome Simpson type, but with way higher potential.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, that burned Mike Brown. That was one of those decisions, man. You take Jerome Simpson over DeSean Jackson.
I'm 14 and knew that.
I'm pretty sure it. Pretty sure. I don't know. Marvin never told me this, but I'm pretty sure Marvin, and I know he knew DeSean Jackson really well, wanted DeSean. And they went with Jerome Simpson, a dude who couldn't get on the field. And if you take Jackson there, I mean, that could send a ripple effect throughout everything. Does the Carson era change? T.O. probably never comes to town. Is 09 different because they have a legitimate threat alongside Chad instead of Lavernius Coles when TJ leaves? I mean, it's just such a ripple effect. Who the hell knows? But Jackson was definitely the pick and should have been the pick.
James, please know I'm getting severe flashbacks right now. I was 14 years old and I was like, I saw DeSean Jackson in college. This is my guy. I wanted him so bad. He was a punt returner in college, exciting player in college. And then, I mean, no shame on Jerome Simpson here, but God, DeSean Jackson's had the way better career.
Oh, in shade. Absolutely shade. Like, that's the thing is, one played for Cal. The other played for, and I forget where Jerome played. Yeah, but
it was a Carolina school. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Coastal Carolina. And at the time, like, and TV people don't do, especially local broadcasters, they don't like, especially in 08, they're not questioning things like that, like draft picks. But I remember that was questioned right away, like, the Bengals take Jerome Simpson in the second round. He's really athletic, and they showed these highlights of him jumping over people and stuff. Like, look at DeSean Jackson. He's one of the best athletes in the league over the past 13 years. That's why he weighs like 20, 30 pounds less than me. Like, I met him a couple times, and he's thin. But he's just that talented and that gifted, where in a grown man's league, he can make those grown men look silly.
Cough, cough, Devontae Smith. What were you going to say, Lloyd?
I was going to say, I will say, I think maybe Jerome Simpson was that, like, it seems like almost once a season or once every other season they take, like, a big gamble. Like, Marcus Hunt was a gamble. You know, a guy who barely played.
Yeah.
And then, but Jerome Simpson on film looked insane. Like, when you just saw what his physical capabilities were, that guy was out of control. So I think once, like I said, once a season, once every other season, they take a gamble on a guy. Marcus Hunt, Jerome Simpson, some of those guys. I remember when Chris Henry was kind of considered a gamble.
Well, that was for sure. Of off-the-field stuff.
Right.
Mainly, right?
I'm saying, like, I think what I'm saying is what they show on tape or whatever, they'll make that decision, like, let's gamble on this working out. I think that's what they did with Jerome Simpson. It just didn't happen to pay off.
Yeah. No, I agree. And in the you're right. Same thing with Marcus Hunt, because – physically, you look at him, has all the tools. Obviously, athletically, he's really gifted, and it just never worked. Now, he's probably going to play for a couple more years, I think. And I thought he was actually pretty good last year when he came back. But just one of those guys that never reached his full potential. And Jerome had a good year in 13, 12. No, he was 11. It was 11 during the flip.
Yeah, that
Sandy's
was
rookie
the
year.
Flip.
Yeah. The flip was the craziest play I've ever seen. So he does have that.
Speaking of flips, my buddy that works at Ignition, he sent me a video of Marcus Hunt doing a flat-footed backflip. Oh, wait. Isn't that dude 6 foot fucking eight?
He's huge.
I'm not a little dude. I have an MMA background, not a you know, I played football in high school, too, but I was much more in combat sports than anything else.
Gotcha.
And I know some big guys that are crazy athletic, and just video clips that they would, my buddy would send me when they were there working out. That guy's, you can't find a guy who's 6'8" and does backflips. Like, that's just,
I didn't know he could do backflips. So that's crazy.
Stand, feet together.
Like a cheerleader.
Yes.
Like, that's crazy. I need to see that. I need to see that video because that's.
If I can find that, I'll dig back to it and see if I can find it. I'll send it to Alex. But yeah, it's he was doing like these. He was doing box jumps at Ignition over there.
Yeah.
He landed, I guess, whatever his highest one was to date, and his mm-hmm. celebration was he took a couple steps back, did a backflip, clapped his hands real big, and goes, "What's next?" And I was like, "I love it. I love every part of that. I get why you signed that guy, even with a little limited playing time. Like, the upside's got to be crazy."
Exactly, and that's what they saw. I think it was like, man, he could end up being such a steal. And look, I'm okay with that if you take a chance on athletes here or there.
Yeah.
The problem, I think, with the Deshaun one, yeah, Jerome was a great athlete, but so was Deshaun. And so that's what bugs people. But it was 13 years ago, and despite me trying to get the Bengals to sign Jackson multiple times in the mid-2010s, it never happened. So.
Yeah, sometimes they just don't listen to the smartest people available.
The smartest people, that's right.
It's just the guys in the – I like to picture, like, nowadays they just have Mike Brown tied up in a closet somewhere while they make all these signings.
I think they just turn on Blues, put him in a corner.
Oh, man.
We're mean people. But
no, it's all right. Hey, well, if it works and they win, Blues Clues it up, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I've met a couple people that work for the family, and apparently we're not being that mean. Like, he's apparently not that sweet of a human being, so I don't mind shitting on him a little.
There was
you're good.
There was one person. I read Why Your Team Sucks, which I've referenced an obscene amount of times. It's a column where people roast NFL players and teams. It's really fun. But someone commented, I was at a First Watch restaurant, and I saw Mike Brown there, and I remember him specifically asking if crackers were extra for soup.
Oh, my gosh. No, wait, what? No, I don't buy it.
All right, so I know someone who did, like, landscaping work and, like, maintenance work for them.
Yeah.
And he went in at one point, like, hey, you know, I've been here, like, 4 years. I probably need a raise. And they were like, if you ask again, you're fired.
Jesus Christ. Oh.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's crazy if that's, you know. One, why would you get soup at First Watch? I would never get soup at First Watch. Yeah. So,
well,
sorry.
If you're Mike Brown's age, what else can you eat?
Okay. I don't know. Biscuits and gravy or something. I don't know. You get. Yeah, there's got to be something.
I thought someone was there.
I did too. That's why I remembered it. So that's, it was pretty good. But yeah, no raise in 4 years. That's wild. Are you talking about like the stadium stuff or like his house?
His house. His house, and then I guess one of his best friends lives right next to him, and then his daughter lives on the other side, and he did all their landscaping and maintenance stuff. I worked for him for 4 years. I did apartment maintenance before. I work at the zoo now.
Gotcha.
But before that, he worked with me in an apartment complex, and then he got that job, and everybody's like, awesome. You're working for one of the richest families in town.
Yeah.
I was talking to him one day, and he said he asked for a raise, and they told him if he asked again, he'd be fired. And I said, how long have you worked there? He's like, I just finished out like my fourth summer of landscaping and all that. And
Do you bail after that, or what do you do?
Because yeah, he left.
Yeah.
He actually now works with Peter Frampton's company.
Oh, it's in Indian, wow. He lives in Indian Hill, if I'm not mistaken.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So,
sheesh.
Let's talk about this year, because this was so far, tumultuous offseason, just – not tumultuous, like, crazy stuff, which is, like, very – got a lot of people talking about, like – so, first question, first and foremost, and I asked you this before we recorded, how nice is it for the Sewell versus Chase versus Pitts debate to be complete?
It's great. I mean, because it's something we had for months, and it took a while, I think, for people to come around, but I think most people realize and see the Bengals' vision. And I was surprised at their vision for a bit, even though I had it, because this idea that Sewell was the best prospect or the best offensive line prospect, and I'm not saying he's not great, but I don't know if he's as great as Pitts or as great as Chase. And and we'll see. But, you know, it was a good problem to have. It was fun for me for a while, and then after a while it got old, like I think it did for everybody. So we'll see how it plays out. National media certainly thinks they got it wrong, I think. I think that's fair to say. Locally, I think we're a little more well-versed and can see why you'd want to replace A.J. Green, because it didn't work for whatever reason last year. Partially him, I think, partially the system. But Chase fits perfectly in it. And I think that that's the benefit here, and it should help Burrow a lot.
Because people say, like, Chase is the X receiver. He can go downfield when he needed to. But that's how people just describe – that's all people thought of him as, was just the X receiver, which I think kind of limits what Chase can do. And that's not all he can do. He can go 10 yards downfield. He can open up the field for 30 yards down the field.
Absolutely. And another thing – absolutely. And they Boy talked about it last week, and I was surprised at how open he was about it. But he's like, oh, yeah, Chase is just more versatile than AJ. He doesn't have to just line up at X.
Really?
He can line up at Z. We can use him in the backfield. We can move him all over. And that part of it is cool because, one, if he's saying that, imagine what they're saying when the cameras aren't on. And he said he wasn't being mean to AJ or anything. He's just like, look. Chase is a different player than AJ. It's not a bad thing. It's just he's different. But I think that's going to benefit. One, this is very much a prove it year for Zach Taylor. We need to figure it out. You know, is he the guy or is he not the guy? This is the year to show it.
Yep.
Well, now he has a guy that not only do they think can be their top receiver, but can be this versatile chess piece that you can move around. Plus you got Boyd. Plus you got Higgins. It makes a ton of sense. And it'll help him either one way. He's successful when he has the right guys in his offense, or two, if they struggle, well, we know it's not the guy because they do have the guys, and it's, you know, he's just not the coach for the job. So we'll see there. But yeah, I think it was the right decision, and I was a bit surprised that Tyler was that open.
So this will sound like a weird thing. I hope Jamar Chase is not the number one receiver this coming.
Oh. Who do you want it to be?
I hope they let Higgins be Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they have, it's worked. I hope they let Boyd be Boyd. Send him over the middle. Send him on those crosses. Like, let him do, and then let Chase be the cleanup guy. Let him play like, you know, the Terrence Copper kind of role for a year or two until he's used to that speed of how everything works.
Mm-hmm.
And then let him be the number one guy. Because every time I feel like they've rushed too many receivers into being.
Number one.
Try to be all three threats at one time. Mm-hmm. Let him learn the parts he didn't play in college for a year. Because you have Higgins who, I mean, how much upside does that kid have?
A ton. A ton. And he
was willing to throw a team on his back and try to be the number one. So maybe for this year, don't overexpose Jamar Chase. Let him learn the other parts that he didn't do as much in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those three will be hell on wheels for the next few years after that.
Yeah, I think it's fair. And I think that what they would say is they're not going to have a number one at all. And I'll tell you this.
1A versus 1B versus 1C, in my opinion.
Yeah, like week one, it might be T. Week two could be Chase. Week three could be Boyd. And that's what they had at LSU. And I think that's kind of how they envision, you know, this trio working. Hopefully.
It also helped to have Justin Jefferson on that team.
Exactly, right? And I think Boyd can be a lot of that of what Jefferson did at LSU. He did a lot of slot stuff. Now, Jefferson showed he had way more tools in his bag last year than just that, and he was a great pick. But, yeah, I think T. Higgins, by the way, in OTAs, clearly took a step. I think he looks more physically fit. I think he's just growing into his body some as a man. I mean, he's only 22, he's 21 last year. And so you talk about his upside. I think there's plenty of upside there because all of those testing scores and everything, not only was he injured last year, but he was still a kid. And I think much like Tyler Boyd, a couple years from now, he'll be much different than he was as a rookie, as a second-year player. As we saw Boyd develop, I think Higgins will do the same.
And Higgins also looks like he's put on probably 15, 20 pounds.
Yeah, you were just saying that.
Higgins?
Yeah, I think he looks like he's like 15, 20 pounds heavier.
And Burrow as well.
Just as quick, if not quicker.
It's funny because he looks that. I agree with you. He weighs the same as he did entering training camp last year.
So, again, coming from a combat sports background, knowing how to carry your weight is kind of a thing for fighters. You got to cut weight and whatever. Knowing where that balance is, I think having a all-the-time nutritionist and all those guys on staff has made him – that's what I'm saying. He looks 20 pounds heavier.
No doubt. And I think that's it. He even mentioned it. He was like, I feel stronger and I'm carrying my weight better. And that's the difference. He was like, at 220 last year, I felt slow. He was like, I feel strong now. And I think you're exactly right. The NFL guy, and he probably hired a nutritionist, you know, in Arizona. He's working in Arizona. It's paying off.
Well, I know like Chip has an open door, like Chip Morton, he lets guys call him. Hey, this is what I want to achieve, and he gets some guys to do it. Like they don't have to find him on their own. Chip does it. He knows fucking everyone. Like I've seen.
That I need guy. To get on that.
I've seen Chip at MMA events and stuff around town.
Really?
Like you know, he's working with this guy out of George Grigel's gym and this guy out of Vision MMA and blah blah. Like all those guys, he kind of filters everyone to who they need to know.
Gotcha.
So I think Duke Tobin and Chip Morton together are a great combo to have in that spot.
For sure.
And also, I was going to say, Burrow looks like he's put on a ton of weight too, because ever since he got hurt, he's been like a fucking gym rat. Because there were, I think, one quote that T. Higgins had where it's like, Burrow threw me a deep pass or something. I was like, oh, shit, he has really improved his arm strength.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, because how much can you improve your arm strength? Like, you can look more cut, and I do think he's, you know, taken strides in that department and added good weight. But is this sustainable? I mean, we have Boyd, Higgins, Uzama, and then Thaddeus Moss, according to – who said it? According to Uzama, all talk about his arm strength. That, did Sample, too? I'm not sure.
I was saying, like, he was on the roster.
Oh, gotcha. But have all commented on the record like, man, he's firing them. And it does look like it's coming in faster. And you just wonder, can he not only do this now, but training camp, preseason if he plays, and then for all 17 weeks and maybe or 18 weeks and maybe the playoffs. So hopefully he can, because that's kind of the one missing element to Burrow's game is just when he needs to be able to rocket it in there, can he do that? And if he picks that up just a little bit, then there really aren't many holes.
Because people said that the Burrow's weakness last year was his deep ball. And not only did he get a receiver to help him improve with that, they got his college receiver, his college deep threat. So instantly that area is improved for Burrow.
Yeah, and I think that's part of why they did it, right? It's a big part. Is they know if they're going to be competitive, they're going to have to – have a lot of explosive plays, which they just couldn't last year. Like everyone talks about that week two game against the Browns. Burrow was 37 of 61 for 316 yards.
Yeah,
if you're throwing 61 times and you finish with 316 yards, that is not good. And it's not his fault. It's because they just couldn't get the ball down the field, partially because of the offensive line and partially because of the wide receiver core.
If I'm not mistaken, I read a stat that said that was more passes than Jimmy Garoppolo threw during the entire 49ers playoff run in 2019-2020.
I bet that's the case. Yeah, I think it was pretty clear they didn't trust Jimmy. And Zach Taylor's like, hey, we trust Joe. We don't know about the rest of these guys, you know. And obviously after that, T. Higgins came on and it helped some. But
that was such –
I think them picking Jamar is also – coming back from an injury is always – weird. Like I said, you know, again, not to keep going back to it, but like I've seen fighters come back from, you know, a bad knee blowout.
Anderson Silva.
And their next three fights are iffy. So I think that confidence boost helps. But also you mentioned preseason. Maybe this is just me. I hope Burrow doesn't play the first three preseason games.
Yeah. That's fair. I think a lot of people are going to feel that way.
I hope that's the way they go with it. I don't want them to.
Yeah, because you're playing against first stringers. I mean, granted, it's only for like a couple drives, but you're playing against first stringers right away.
And so what I think they need to do, and this is assuming, obviously, he gets cleared. you know, fully cleared, which I think is going to happen. He seems like he's on track for that, you know, to do pre-training camp or early on in camp. Does he want those snaps? Can they simulate enough of it in camp like they did last year, by the way? He didn't have a preseason last year, so that's worth noting.
Yep.
Where he's going to feel comfortable week one lining up against the Mike Zimmer defense, or does he want 10 snaps? And he might. And if he does, I don't want to go against him because I want him to be comfortable week one, and I don't want him to be worried about that left knee week one. And I think that's kind of the tough part, because I agree with you. The risk versus reward of preseason, it's not worth it. At the same time, you want him to be ready to go. And so that's going to be a delicate balance, an organizational decision that we see how they – Palmer played, remember, after the 05 injury. He played in week three against the Packers.
So here's where my way of thinking – I don't care if he wants those snaps. Because that is a super competitive kid.
Sure.
He's going to want them.
The fact that he's talking shit over chess games with guys in training camp.
Yeah.
That's a competitive dude. He wants those snaps every time. I don't give a shit if he wants them.
Yeah.
I give a shit whether or not it's a reasonable thing for him to do. And I don't think pushing it is remotely close to a good idea at this point.
That's fair. And
there's a lot of people who would argue that he shouldn't play the first few games just based on timeline. So let's maybe he's going to want him. He's going to want to play the whole time. And good for him for being that way. But I think that's the coaching staff's responsibility to go, nope. You're going to sit out a few, then you're going to have this last one. We did a great job with you last year with no preseason. You'll be able to do it again. Just calm down.
Yeah, and in January, he said, I don't really care about playing in preseason. You know, I'm just going to be ready for week one. Yep. But you never know now from a comfort standpoint. And I, by the way, I don't think this is just a coaching decision. I think Duke will have certainly a factor, an opinion. Mike Brown. You know, all that entire front office is going to have to weigh in on what they do. And it might be as simple as just having him go through all of the warm-ups like he is starting, and then you take his helmet, which might be worth it.
His worst-case scenario, look what happened with AJ a few years ago. Worst-case scenario, Burrow goes down with a non-contact injury before he's 100% ready. Because I remember AJ – I forget who AJ played – the Bengals played this week, but like AJ ran like two steps in a route and was just like, nope, I'm done. I can't do this.
It was in, I believe it was in 18.
Yep.
28. I believe it was in 2018. They got off. Yeah. They got off to the 4-1 start. AJ gets dinged up and then he comes back. They're hovering around 500, comes back and gets injured. And it was, I think it was the toe.
18, that was bothering. Yeah, it was the toe. 18. It was, the week after the Falcons game in 18, that was when he made the game-winning catch.
Yeah, and that got them to 4-1. That was such a fun game.
That was
and then
right after that, he just – so, again, see him come back from injury. I think it's good that AJ went somewhere else. It's going to sound like – I know that as a Bengals fan, you're not supposed to say that. But I think that's the first time in his career he really had – real like adversity, like where he really felt I'm not the best,
the guy.
Yeah
And coming back, he played like he wasn't the best. Like he ran softer than he did. You didn't see as much contact between him and defenders. And I think him going out expecting to be the number one guy, and everyone expecting him to be the number one guy, coming back from a real injury that actually hurt his confidence, he never figured out how to get past that. I think going somewhere where it's a completely new start, new staff, new program, new everything, he can go, okay, I don't have to be the number one. I just have to be good. And him
I agree.
Being good makes him the number one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there was this weird, awkward, I'm a holdover and I have all these new faces and this new coach that I haven't played for and the equity wasn't there anymore. And there was just a lack of trust as much as anything for whatever reason. But if you told me he had 800 yards for the Cardinals and was efficient this year and was a solid number two in that offense behind DeAndre Hopkins, or maybe even more than 800 yards if they're really good in Arizona. It would not shock me at all. And I think that there might be a chip on his shoulder now that was hard to muster given the situation last year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Expecting to be number one. Now, going in, again, I know how competitive athletes are. He's going to go on with DeAndre Hopkins on the other side and go, he's not that much better than me, guys.
Sure.
And everybody's gonna be like, yeah, he probably is. And AJ's going to go, you know what? No, he's not. Watch.
They were only drafted 2 years apart.
Right, but I think not being expected to be the number one might be the best thing in the world for a guy like that.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, because he had the contract year, $18 million hanging over his head. Can he finally stay healthy? Those expectations with a $6 million contract just aren't there. Like, the Cardinals should be good, and I think they're expected to be good, but I don't think anyone's banking on AJ having 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns.
No, and being, again, maybe I'm the oldest guy in the room, but these are still young dudes you're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At 25, I'm like, I'll fight Rich Franklin. I don't give a shit. Yeah, he beats me up in sparring on a regular basis. I'll fight him. I don't give a shit. Like, you know, I mean, my brain was just not where it needed to be. So I think I add that to a lot of what players do is they're still young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And in peak physical condition.
Yeah, I mean, they're not only young guys, but they're guys who've been super athletes their entire career so far, and now they're competing with other super athletes. And I can tell you from experience, there's guys that are just better than the rest of us. You know, I went to a wrestling camp with Matt Hamill, who is a deaf UFC fighter. And 15 minutes in, he uses me for an example in one of the wrestling things. And I put my arm around him and I went, I'm about to wrestle the biggest sewer lid that's ever existed. Like this, like he didn't feel like the same thing. Putting your hand on him, he felt like he was made out of a different material.
Yeah.
Grab my wrist, just standard wrestling, you know, the starting position.
Mm-hmm.
He grabbed my wrist. I went, huh? Because his grip strength was so absurd. And I'm like, okay, that's just a different thing than what I am.
Yeah.
These guys are all used to being that different thing.
Yep. And I think you saw AJ was a little more human last year.
Yep.
And he's got to adjust to being a little more human. I think he can. I think he's smart enough to. I think he has the self-awareness. I also think it's really hard to do in season when it just isn't clicking and things are going wrong and you're losing games.
Right. I think starting on a new place, new faces, mm-hmm. new thing to do.
In the toughest division in football.
And to have a guy on the opposite side that's been debated, like, is he better than you? Are you better than him? But I don't think you could draw up a better scenario for AJ.
And a guy with a huge arm in Kyler. I mean, he's got a huge arm.
Kyler is – I see him as a low-key gunslinger.
Yeah. I love Kyler. I love everything about his game. You want to talk about elite athlete. He's 5'8", doesn't get hit, and can throw it a mile in his – fast as all get out.
I saw a video of him just like shadow boxing, like, which again, I can take a million things from that. That's kid who knows how to box.
Yeah.
Kid who knows how to, and they say he's like a ridiculous golfer. They say, like,
he was a top 10 base. He was a top 10 MLB draft pick.
Right. That's yep. So a guy who's good at everything. I'm totally on board. That guy is a mega athlete.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL and a perfect fit for Kyler and who will probably have better games, a lot of games that are better than AJ, I love Christian Kirk in that offense.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be a deep threat for him, and he's not going to command the attention that Hopkins will get double teamed.
Yep.
Right? You'll have AJ hopefully winning some one-on-one stuff, but not expected to stretch the field like he was last year, another expectation that he's not going to have to fulfill because they have Christian Kirk. And they also got the kid Rondell Moore out of Purdue.
Yeah.
And I love that they added him too.
Really strong, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 5'9", again, super strong, quick, and can just complement all those other guys.
Did he have health concerns too, if I'm not mistaken?
Might have. I forget. It all bleeds together now. I think so, though.
Yeah.
The guys like that, I'm always fascinated by, like, those, like, they're super athletes and then, like, uber athletes. I think Kyler's much more in that, like, uber athlete. Like I said, just a shitty 10-second video of him just, like, as he was warming up, whatever, shadow boxing. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
no, he actually knows the footwork. He knows how to punch. Mm-hmm. Like, it spent time training with someone who knows how to box. And then, like, a week later, I saw something where he's, like, on the golf course and everyone's like, you can't do what he does. So any of those, like, uber athlete guys like that, I'm always fascinated by
him. He's the NFL's Mookie Betts.
Gotcha, yeah. There you go.
He's insane.
Mookie's so much fun to watch. Still don't get what Boston was doing, but, yeah, he's so much fun to watch.
Lloyd's not a ball with a stick guy.
I know absolutely zero about baseball. I've tried for years. My grandfather tried. When there's no contact, I don't understand how it's a sport. I'm weird. I get it.
I was going to say, if you're a combat sport guy, baseball is slow. It's almost the opposite of what.
I can appreciate that those guys can do that. Cause I've been in, like, I've went to batting cages and tried to hit, like, what a fastball is.
Mm-hmm.
So props to those guys for being able to do that. But also, I've been standing next to a guy who won the World Ski Ball Championship, and I felt the exact same thing.
Which was nothing?
Yeah, it was, hey, you're really good at a skill game.
Yeah.
What can you do in sports?
Which, random fact, I play for a baseball team, and I hit my first ever home run last week.
Look at that.
Yeah, it's...
baseball. Wood bat or metal bat? Wood bat, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was in complete disbelief. I don't want to talk to Lloyd about that because I know you're not a ball with a stick guy, but.
Again, I'm impressed by guys who can do it.
Well, you're sitting next to one.
Yeah.
Me.
I worked in the zoo, and one of my really good friends there, she married J.J. Hoover.
Oh, gotcha. I'm a Reds pitcher.
And I've met him a bunch of times. Always impressed. I was always super nice to him, but at the same time, like, when he started talking other sports with me, I'm like, let's just go back to your thing. Like, because you don't get hit.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw him pitch for the Reds. He did get hit pretty hard a couple of times.
Just a couple.
Yeah. Or a lot. So, I saw one thing you wrote about where I'll talk about a couple of things. Like, you said that Zach Taylor compared Jamar Chase's skill set to Cooper Kupp's.
He did, just partially, because you see that and you're like, oh, well, Cooper Kupp was a second rounder. I don't want Jamar Chase, the fifth overall pick, to be Kupp. You want him to be better than that. But it was two things. Yards after contact and his just ability to not go down.
Yep.
In his body control.
We watched this happen in London where, if I'm not mistaken, he shaked the shit out of Dre Kirkpatrick.
I'm sure. A few people did that year.
There was the Goff threw it like 30 yards to the right, and then Coop just juked the shit out of one of our DBs. I think it was Dre.
Probably.
Yeah.
And Kupp's a freak, by the way. Like, yeah. He's so good.
He got that, like, Barry Sanders ankles where they look like rubber when he steps to the side.
Yeah, people were, like, underwhelmed by that, I think, most people that read that. But I thought it was cool because you hear these comparisons, and a lot of them are, you know, lazy, right? Like, you compare Jamar Chase to insert whatever star receiver. But the fact that Taylor took two qualities from a guy that, yeah, he's really good and you might have him on your fantasy team, but he hasn't been an all-pro. And he's like, oh, yeah, Jamar has great body control like Cooper Kupp, and he breaks tackles like Cooper Kupp, but he's got that elite athleticism and speed. I like those comps because it's like, ooh, that kind of went in there in their process during the draft. And it's someone that Taylor obviously coached in L.A. So
I think I just watched the highlight. It was B.W. Webb, I think, fell on that play. And then just Coop just like, oh, I guess I have a clear lane. And just zoop. It was in London, too.
I remember that game.
So I'm going to do something I never do. And I will say I like a lot of the stuff you write because it doesn't get as overly flowery and complimentary for no reason as other people.
Thank you.
So I don't normally go out of my way to do compliments. I usually just shit on him.
He had a home run. You got to let him go.
Yeah.
You got to give him a week.
I've been 0-4 since. But...
But no, I will say that I was actually kind of excited when he said we're going to have you on. I was like, I actually like a lot of stuff you put out. Like, I've watched a lot of, like, the YouTube clips that...
Yeah, man.
I was actually a little excited to... Because a lot of writers, I think, get too caught up in the don't say anything negative.
They want to... They do shit for clicks.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just try to be fair, right? Good and bad. And that's kind of just how I feel like is the most effective way. Because if you go too far one way or too far the other way, well, you got to stay, you're in this business. So if you're fair the whole time, then that's that. So that's kind of my goal. And we'll see. Like last year, right? I thought Zach Taylor, the experiment was done. Really? But I'm not carrying that into this year. And I'm going to give him a third shot. Yeah, that was my opinion. Yeah, that was... After he had four wins, he hadn't won any of those games at the end. I think he had four wins in like 30 games or 28 games or something at the time. But either way, that doesn't carry into this year. I'll be fair to him and fair to any of these other guys, right? So that's always my goal. So
at one point, I called him White Hugh Jackson.
A lot of people in Cleveland think it's very similar to the Hugh situation when they brought him back for a third season. And I get it. I do.
Well, also, that third season was the year that Hugh got his guy, Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started to win some games, like some games, a couple. And then they fired him, and I think Kitchens was – or no, it was Greg Williams.
It was Greg Williams. And then they made Kitchens their run.
Williams was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was fine. I think that's the scary thing with Taylor is if one, I don't think they would move on unless all hell broke loose. I don't think they'd fire him midseason. I just don't think it really makes sense. Yep. But bringing him back for a third year, you could be wasting a year of Burrow if he doesn't show that he's the guy, and you've already done that once. I think Burrow was ready to win last year. The team wasn't, the roster wasn't, the coaching staff wasn't, but he was really ready to go, and I don't think he needed a growing year, and obviously he learned from last year and there's stuff he's going to be better at, but that's the thing with Taylor now. There's risk in bringing him back. I get why they did, and I think he could end up being a good head coach. We'll see, but it is risky.
I think the key is, and this is the key for every year for the Bengals, is injuries, because on paper right now the Bengals are a pretty good team. That is, if everyone on the roster stays healthy.
And that's never going to happen, right? So the key is avoiding the major injuries, Burrow, Mixon, the receivers, the pass rush, and then having depth at spots. And they did try to upgrade this. I think they're deeper at cornerback. There's a reason they drafted four defensive linemen. They needed to increase the depth, not just the starters, but what's behind them. And hopefully it looks better on paper, but you know, we'll see what happens. And I do think they're much better than they were a year ago at this time from a roster standpoint.
We were just talking about the Browns. I think the Browns are a perfect example of one of the things I harp on all the time on this podcast. They've maintained a coaching staff without any major departures or changes for a few years now, and everyone's playing better. I remember reading an article where AJ was like, I haven't had the same coaches any year I've been here. It was like his fourth or fifth year, whatever. And I think, you know, we suffer the curse of the small market team. We have any coach that does even remotely well and they get picked off by another team.
I think Zimmer, Gruden.
Yeah, I think having a consistent coaching staff and letting people really develop with the guys that are teaching them is a major, major part of what works. Like, you look at the Patriots, they've had the same staff since, the Civil War?
Yeah. I gotcha. So that's the argument for Taylor, right? Yep. Is, all right, we got it wrong on the offensive line. Let's get Jim Turner out of here. They were too loyal to him last year when they could have had Bill Callahan. So let's bring in Pollock. Pollock's willing to come back. They bring him back. Let's get Taylor another weapon, another year with Burrow. And now it's time to prove it. They might be right, but now it's time to prove it. And I think that's why it's such a crucial year, Because if they go like 6-11, I don't know how you bring him back. But if you go 8-9, God, these records are weird now with 17
games.
It's so weird. 8-9, is that enough? Like, what's enough? What's not enough? It's a really – it's a unique spot because he's 6-25-1.
Yep.
8-9 is more than enough.
I agree. No, I agree with you.
Together an offensive line out of scraps.
Yep.
Now, yeah, I mean, let's say Jonah stays healthy. Does that pay off? Because that kid has all the upside in the world, all the potential.
And he loves football. I remember, like, saying, like, when they were drafted, he's like, he's a high football IQ guy, studies the hell out of the game, and loves what he does.
Yeah. No, I think Jonah's really, really good. I think he was – last year I didn't question him at all. He played 10 games, basically his rookie year. And I was like, man, he's the left tackle of the future. And it's just, can he stay healthy this year? If he does, I don't really question – that he's going to make strides, especially with Frank Pollock coaching him.
If the whole line stays healthy, it's a good line.
Especially with Bobby Hart.
if they stay healthy, it is a good line. Like, if Hopkins is out there and is playing at a reasonable level, let's say by week three, I think it's going to be hard for him to be back. Maybe he will. He is not participating in OTAs, but he was out there working out and stuff. Jackson Carman, I think he can be fine at right guard, certainly better than what they had last year. I mean, they had the worst guard play for most of the season in the NFL. And then between Suofilo and Spain, I think one of those guys is a starting guard. And then that's the thing about depth is now you have a backup guard that can play either spot in whoever loses that battle. So I agree. I think that the line's better, and it's just about hopefully staying healthy. If they can stay healthy, I agree. I think they'll be pretty good.
Arguably one of the most underrated centers
in the league.
Hopkins?
Yeah.
I think watching that guy play, I'm like, that's everything you want. He's doing all the things right. Like, him pulling two spots over on run plays and doing it well. Like,
absolutely.
I'm surprised he didn't get more praise.
And he's a leader. I think he's a stabilizer on and off the field, all of those things that when you're losing games in the middle of a season, it's tough to do. I think he can do that, and you're right. He does everything that's called upon that they ask him to do, and he's really smart. I mean, Trey's one of the more fun interviews because he's thinking about what you're saying and giving you some good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I've tried like hell to get players. I've slid into more DMs than I can count, and no avail. Literally nothing.
I mean, it doesn't help me. It starts off with, hey, sexy.
That's how I text you.
I know.
You just copy and paste it into the DMs. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough getting the virtual interviews. Even, you know, me too. I mean, it's the same. Unless the team sets it up, it's really tough to get players.
Yeah, I was told, I forget what it was, the team's communications director or something like that. You got to email them, and I think I couldn't find their email on the website or something like that.
Just start offering them free zoo tours.
There you go.
He's made Fiona cakes before.
Yeah. You know, all the birthday cakes you see for animals and stuff, that's this guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you ever want to go.
Gotcha.
No joke. All right. Absolutely, for real. Like, if you ever want to take, like, the wife and
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I haven't been to the zoo in years. It's probably completely different from when I was there, but
I started off in construction and maintenance. I got a degree in network administration, web design, and I'm a nutritionist at the zoo.
Gotcha.
I found something that I was okay with going to work and doing every day.
That's the goal, man. So that's awesome.
I do. So yeah, like I said, if you ever want, you got a way to contact us. I'm down, man.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. That'd be fun. I need to get to, like I said, I need to get back to the zoo. I haven't been there probably, I would guess, 07, 08, like literally.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was probably debating Jerome Simpson, Deshaun Jackson last time I was at the zoo.
I think it's not as much debating Jerome Simpson, like, because I didn't even know who Jerome Simpson was in 2007.
Sure.
I did just because of, like, the video clips that kept being played on everything.
Yeah.
Which I think, I get how they were sold on. Like, watching,
but he was hurdling guys.
Not only that, but just watching like his workout stuff.
Yeah,
he had what, a 42-inch vertical jump?
Something crazy. Yeah, I mean, it was really,
like, he didn't look that guy, and then he performed the way he did. I could see being sold on him. I mean, these are all guys who haven't seen him play at NFL speed, trying to pick. Like, we can shit on everyone for, like, hey, that's him versus Deshaun Jackson. But they're, all right, we're watching him play at college speed. We're watching him play.
Sure.
This way, and then you see something as absurd as what that guy could do with his body. Like, the amount of body control that guy had. Like, he trained with Olympic-level gymnasts for exercise.
You went from going after Mike Brown to just defending his Jerome Simpson pick. I just want to point that out during this interview.
Tobin's pick.
You what?
That was Duke Tobin's pick. Everyone dropped that on Duke's lap after it happened.
Oh, the Simpson pick? Oh. Yeah. I think Mike Brown loved Simpson too. I'll say that.
Probably, but I think that that's how he got sold on it.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, Jackson was picked, like, within the next three picks or something like that.
Something like that. It was quick, yeah.
It was, I think, yeah, to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Which, oh, boy.
And then he had that cool, like, dropping the ball before he got in the end zone.
I remember those.
Made everyone feel a little bit better about it for a second.
Flips it behind his back. Yeah, I never understood that. That was crazy.
It's showboating.
But it made everyone feel better for, like, a second.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, he didn't score either.
Yeah, at least our guy didn't do that.
He held on to the ball, and he was upside down for a second.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but, dude, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Dude, thank you so much for coming on and just talking and bullshitting with us. So we'll do a couple predictions and bullshit. What are your major predictions for this year?
Oh, predictions? Record-wise? Yards-wise? Like, what are we – anything?
For the season, it could be that Bobby Hart runs back on the field and kills four other players on the other team, just trying to make sure that he gets a spot somewhere again.
And he killed six more by convincing them to not get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's right. Oh man. No, I mean,
I could someone suck anymore.
The first prediction: right tackle is upgraded. It's better this year than it's been the past 3 years. How about that one?
I love the Riley Reiff signing because he's an NFL vet. It's like Frank Pollock and Riley Reiff are basically guiding and coaching the future of this line right now. Because the guy we haven't brought up, Jackson Carman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be very good.
Yeah, I think that. So overall, I think the line's going to be better than it's been in recent seasons. Certainly better than last year.
Yep.
I think that if I had to guess right now, and this would be subject to change, but I actually think they're going to be good enough where Zach does get a fourth year. If I had to guess right now, like, I think they can win 7 games if Burrow stays healthy. So if they're 7-10, knowing the family, I would assume that Taylor gets a fourth year and they're going to have a bunch of cap space and they'll go sign whatever weaknesses they have, probably an offensive lineman or two in free agency, and try to make a real run in 2022. So that would be one. I think Burrow's going to have a huge year, either him or Mixon. I think they could both be in the comeback player of the year type running. And it wouldn't shock me if Mixon has his best season.
The
offensive line's legit. Yeah, offensive line's legit now. Pollock's back. So there you go. A little optimism there.
The run game coordinator.
And I think that was part of it because of his relationship with Mixon.
Yep.
Let's get this right so you can maximize him because they paid him for a reason. They're going to try to get him the ball.
Yep. I'm so excited. Well, I actually met Joe Mixon briefly in OTR. He was like, it was like 2 a.m. I was a little drunk and he's like, who the hell are you? Go away. It's all good.
What's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction. Do the Bengals play the Chargers this year?
They do.
That'll be a fun matchup, Burrow versus Herbert.
Who you got?
That's gonna be a good game.
I'll give you a prediction. Burrow throws for more yards than Justin Herbert this year.
Yep. I think when Burrow went down, I said this to Andy Fox, but the moment Burrow went down was the exact moment the Justin Herbert hype train exploded.
Yeah, that's fair. Because there was one rookie of the year now, right? It wasn't going to be Justin Jefferson because he's a receiver. You had the two quarterbacks that were going to duel.
Yep.
And I thought that the Bengals were going to win at least two more games last year with Burrow. Like, I get it. They beat Houston and they beat Pittsburgh. But I think they would have beat Washington with Burrow. I think they would have probably beat the Giants and maybe the Dolphins. So, like, they could have ended up with, like, that seven-win range anyways had Burrow stayed healthy.
Yep.
All right, my bold prediction is that the line issues aren't all the way resolved.
I honestly agree.
And about halfway through the season, Pollock just decides to throw on pads like Burt Reynolds in the longest yard. You're going to like Burt Reynolds in the longest yard, just go out there and just be like, fuck it, I'm the right guard now. Let's go. Yes.
Fourth and one, he comes out there against Pittsburgh and is like, we need a yard. We're going to get this and win the game.
Yeah, he does. He plays fullback.
He's pass. Dontari Poe.
Don't talk Pecco in those weird packages where they needed 1 yard.
Yeah.
Pollock up and just like, fuck it, go do it.
Love it. Oh, I love it.
That's my ball.
I need to see that.
He's like, I'm the running game coordinator. Screw it. I'm the running back now.
Yeah. I'm fullback. Let's go.
There is no fullback anymore, really.
Not on the Bengals.
No. The only one.
Ryan Hewitt.
The only one I can think of off the top of my head, even in the NFL, is Kyle Scrabble for the 49ers.
Isn't one of the Watts a fullback?
Derek Watt. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, too. So Kyle Scrabble for the 49ers. He's checked. And
the Browns have one, too. Janovich, I think it is.
Okay, I'll give him that. But, yeah.
The only reason I remember is because he was crushing Jermaine Pratt a bunch last year in the two matchups. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so I kind of agree with you. I think I've said this is like kind of a Band-Aid offensive line, not like this isn't like a long-term, like, this is going to be our line for the next 5 or so years. Like, it's a Band-Aid. It's not bad, but it's a temporary fix.
Yeah, and that's why I think next offseason, they're going to have a ton of money. Yeah. That's when you go spend it. That's when you use the 15th pick in the draft on the best player on your board, which could be an offensive lineman then, and you continue to build up the trenches.
Yeah.
That's what we're all hoping, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
The last ever since they drafted William Jackson 16, every first-round pick has been an offensive player.
Yeah.
Ross,
yeah.
Jonah, Burrow, and now Jamar Chase.
I think also with that freedom and cap space that you're talking about, I think maybe next year you see a lot more defensive side of the – free agency.
Slashes.
It just seems like that's where they're more willing to go into free agency is on
defense. It does, doesn't it? Yeah, they've spent a ton there, but I think that you could see them going after a linebacker, depending on what happens linebacker-wise, another pass rusher, and who knows. And they're going to re-sign Hubbard, I think, for sure, Bates. So you could be talking about a couple extensions there, too.
Yep. You got to hope, because I was not pissed, but my day was ruined when the Chiefs got Tooney. I was like, I was so convinced that Joe Tooney was going to be an angle going.
Were you really? That sucks. Yeah, I didn't think they were going to spend that type of money on it, you know. And I didn't think he was going to get that much. I mean, he got huge money, but I didn't think they were going to spend 460 or anything like that.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this on the podcast where I was like, I'd love to see it, but I don't think they'll spend that cash.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, if Jackson Carmen is pretty good, it's not worth it to spend that capital on Tooney. So I get where they're coming from.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, we got our predictions out of the way. Let's do some plugs because you have a lot of socials and you're on Twitter. You're on, say, Bengals Talk on Facebook. Are you on the gram too?
Yep. Cincy Bengals Talk on the gram. I just rebranded my gram for straight Bengals stuff. So.
Yep. And James Rapine on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Yeah. Right. It's that simple. Yeah. And then, allbengals.com is where everything filters through. So
you and Andrew Fox and a bunch of other guys.
Yep. Elise Jesse. And then heck, Nicole Zembro, you know, a bunch of different contributors, Russ Heltman. So
what's the YouTube you use most?
Cincinnati Bengals Talk on YouTube as well. So that's a lot of Andrew. You'll see a lot of Andrew Fox Miller's work there. A lot of editing and stuff. He does a good job.
Yeah. He's a really good dude. Him and I talked for about an hour because I do stand up and he did.
That's what he said.
Yeah. He did a little bit, and I don't really remember him all too much because I think he only did like a couple mics, but.
Yeah, he didn't do much. He didn't do much. I was at one or two of them, so.
Yeah. Do you ever go to Go Bananas ever? Or?
I did. I haven't in a long time, but yeah, I have. Do you still perform there once in a while?
It is. It's really great when it's open. It's not open right now due to renovations, but.
Oh.
When it is open, I am going to be the first one there.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm not a comic, but I'm there more than a lot of comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. No, it was a good time when I've been there. It's just been a while.
Yeah. So last question, because I'm like kind of like trying to go into sports writing myself, but what's, if someone were want, like this, I could probably listen to this answer too, but like if someone were to want to go into sports writing or like sports podcasting or something like that, like what's
a piece of advice you have? Can you give me 1 second?
Yep, absolutely.
I'll be right back. Sorry.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, dude. But James, thank you again for coming on. So you said if you have –
Are you doing a show at Chameleon every evening?
I do karaoke every Wednesday at Chameleon. Yeah. And I'll be there in 2 weeks with Randall Barnacle.
Yeah.
So I was saying, like, if someone were to want to go into, like, sports writing and like sports podcasting, what's a piece of advice you have? Like, cause like you started basically like from like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. And then now you're here. So what's a piece of advice you have?
Well, what you're doing right now, right, is reps. So podcast away. And that, I think that's the beauty of this time and age and technology. Everyone seems to have some sort of recording device, even if it's a cell phone, you can get your reps on podcasts. I remember recording tons of podcasts that no one listened to. And I think the archive files are somewhere, right? Where it was just about getting the reps. And I basically was talking to myself, getting more comfortable on the mic and things like that. So that's the first thing I would tell any, and I've told, you know, college students that say it, is get as many reps as you can. And same thing goes for writing. You know, you can create your own blog. I know that's what I did, where again, no one read it. It's a Blogspot blog, but I got more comfortable writing. Yeah. Right. And it's just, it's about getting those reps. And then you mentioned Cincy Jungle earlier. Then heck, I contributed to Cincy Jungle for a little bit, and then going there in or somewhere like it and starting to write or starting to podcast to do different interviews and things like that. And just, you keep going and you get more experienced. And if you work really hard at it, you know, hopefully a door opens here, a door opens there, and suddenly things start to roll. And that's usually how it works. And I'm sure that's probably how it worked with you from a comedy standpoint, right? Is you just meet people and things start to move in the right direction, and that's it. So it takes a lot of time. It's, you know, there's a lot of effort that no one sees, but it's certainly doable for sure.
Yep. Absolutely, man. James, thank you so much for coming on. This will probably be posted tomorrow, but dude, thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad we were able to work this out.
Absolutely.
And it was fantastic. So you're welcome back. I mean, you're welcome back on anytime. I know you're probably super busy, but dude, thank you so much for coming on. And Lloyd, I think we only have one thing left to say. What are we going to say F you to?
NFL.
You want to say F you to the NFL? Yeah. Is that okay with you, James?
Go for it.
All right.
Or you want me to say it?
Nah. We'll
say it. I was going to say it.
All right. Fuck you, NFL. We like the Bengals.
Why, man?
There we go. Stop recording.
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.